What does production insurance cover? How does workers' compensation work? How much should someone expect to pay on average each year for a basic annual policy? What is E&O? What is a waiver of subrogation? How do you know what you need and when you need it? What's the difference between an annual policy and a short-term policy? We're going to demystify production insurance today with Alan Schlafer, owner of Alan Schlafer Insurance, on this episode of the Working Director Podcast. This is the Working Director Podcast, show that helps you go from emerging filmmaker to working director. As a filmmaker living in Los Angeles, I've directed over 130 projects, including 6 distributed feature films, all while helping filmmakers figure out how to level up in their careers. I do this show with one goal in mind: to help you become a working director. And if you want to join us for the live Q&A sessions and ask all of your questions, make sure you join our free private Facebook group by going to theworkingdirector.pro. What is production insurance?
There's a few different sections of production insurance. One is your general liability, your auto liability. Then you have your production package, and usually workers' comp goes along with that. Now, depending on the situation or requirements, there may be additional coverages involved.
So when you do a payroll company, they usually carry workers' comp. But I go with you, I have my workers' comp built into my policy. Do you have a reason you would say one or the other? Does it matter?
I don't know what the costs of payroll companies are, but usually when you're hiring a payroll company, they add, here's your payroll, this is our markup. You also have to pay for, you know, fringe things, payroll tax, all the taxes involved, yada, yada, yada. By the time you're done, it can be pretty expensive. I do recommend to a lot of people to go through the Fund of California. Depending who the carrier is, sometimes it makes a big difference, because certain carriers have very, very high workers' comp rates. And I always say, oh, no, don't get your workers' comp through me on this one, because you're going to be paying through the nose. So if you can, I've always been told that the State Fund of California takes a long time to get through. So I would at least always leave yourself at least like 2-3 weeks to get in touch with them. But sometimes they, you know, sometimes they come through a lot quicker than that.
The State Fund of California. So if someone Googles that, they'll come up with how to apply.
Yeah, cover. They have to cover you as the State Fund of California.
Wow, that's great.
And I think what I've been told by my clients is that the rates are very, very, very reasonable.
If you work with Alan, he's really good about trying to find you the best coverage for your needs. So like my workers' comp is not exactly the same as potentially the overall carrier. Campbell has a great question on the workers' comp. Most workers' comp policies won't cover contractors or volunteers or those who are paid in kind and not in cash. We'd love to hear your thoughts on how to deal with this. And she's on the East Coast, not California. I don't know that that matters. I think that generally the same everywhere.
I mean, the film business is notorious for hiring independent contractors and has been that way for a long time.
But does workers' comp usually cover? So if I have someone on set who's a contractor, not an employee, my workers' comp will cover them or not usually?
Yeah. Yeah. They will cover independent contractors out here. And in my experience, if they're on payroll, they're going through a payroll company.
Right.
Right.
Usually with, I think with the low budget, contractors tend to be, you know, we're paying them through Venmo, or if you have volunteers, maybe you're giving them a gas stipend. And I guess I can get the concern Cam Cole Films is asking about, where it's like, are those people going to be covered if something terrible were to happen?
Yeah.
Well, obviously you always have to ask your particular company. I would always say, you know, you want to make sure you ask them. Yeah. But in your experience, Alan, what have you found?
Basically, the rule is anyone working under your direction, whether they're W-2 or independent contractors, they are working under your direction. So by law, they are covered by workers' comp.
Alexandra Jimenez, hello, Alex, wants to know, how does production insurance work when abroad? I think that's a great question. So I'm assuming she means, like, you know, I work in California. I've gotten my production insurance from you, but I decide I'm going to go make a short film in France. Am I still covered?
Parts of you are. usually your inland marine coverage, which is all property related coverages, that usually is a worldwide coverage. So if you're renting equipment, that is covered going abroad, but you will usually need to have a foreign liability policy.
Okay.
And when you write a foreign liability policy, they will give you the opportunity to get what they call employer's liability or employer's responsibility, which is in essence their version of workers' comp.
David has a similar question, but statewide. I have a multi-state travel series coming up with my workers' comp cover. Will my workers' comp cover the crew I hire in various states we travel to, or do I need a short-term policy for each state we go to?
That is a good question. Usually they will do it by location, and you will have to declare what states you are going to. I don't see them changing the workers' comp rates per state, but each state has a different workers' comp rate. So usually it's where your location is, that's what they base it on. And then, okay, you're traveling now, go do what you got to do.
So in my case where I have my production insurance workers' comp, and then I decide I'm going to go shoot a short film in, you know, St. Louis.
Yeah.
I need to get in touch with my insurance company. I need to get in touch with you and say, I'm going to St. Louis and make sure we're covered.
It depends. It depends how you're doing it. If you're doing a short-term policy, see, you have an annual DICE policy.
Right.
So you're covered. You can go anywhere you want, and you're covered.
Okay.
You know, within the United States, you're fine. But if you're getting a short-term policy, they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, we're out of Los Angeles. And then they'll say, oh, but we're shooting in, let's say, Tennessee or something like that. And then when I go to the workers' comp section of the application online, I type in Tennessee and they say, what is the address? Because then they want to base their work comp rates on that state where they're working.
In my experience, short-term actually costs the same or more than my annual policy. So for short, let's not talk of feature films or long, just short projects, short videos.
Right.
Would you recommend someone just get the annual policy?
I think it depends on how much they have on their schedule. I mean, if you're doing, I would say, 3 to 4 projects, I would get an annual policy. Because each short term could be like $2,500, you know. And then if you add workers' comp, it could be more expensive as well. And each time you do a short-term workers' comp, you know, you're charged as a minimum premium workers' comp policy, which is about $1,000, which is the same as an annual premium on a policy.
I would say for those of you who haven't done an annual and you're wondering how much it costs, in my case, it's been around $5,000 to $6,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a minimum premium policy, which is about $200,000 gross production costs.
And I've had no trouble. We've shot at SoFi Stadium or in the news, the YouTube theater, like places that have said they want like $5 million coverage. And we've been fine with our million or 2 million, depending on what we have. Actually, since we're on that, I want to kind of go through a certificate of insurance. Let's get into what all these kind of categories mean. First off, what is the commercial general liability? What does that cover? So everybody understands.
Yes, basically that is injury or damage to a third party. And people confuse general liability with workers' comp. Well, I want to protect the people that are working on my set. Isn't that general liability? No. That's in case someone walks into your set, where you're shooting. I like to use the Three Stooges as an example. And they're carrying a ladder. They turn around. They knock the old lady down the subway stairs. Yeah, that would be bad. And that would be a general liability.
So when it says each occurrence, $1 million, so that means if I'm on a project, it would have up to $1 million are we covered for that project?
Yeah, each claim. So okay. Each occurrence is a claim, basically. Okay. So, and your aggregate is 2, so you can have up to two $1 million claims.
Got that. And he's talking about the general aggregate here, which you'll see here, guys. And then when it says, so medical expenses, personal injury, again, this is not the workers' comp. This is someone gets hit with which we've had things scary that happen, like a lamp falls. We've had it fall in a car. Luckily, didn't need people. But if it hit the person, that's where this comes into play. Yeah. Does this also cover, is general liability also your location? If there's a hole gets put in the wall, if a table gets broken?
Now, the problem with the production insurance is where you see damage to rented premises, there's a 7-day exclusion. So you are at a location less than 7 days within the world of production insurance. That is excluded under this.
I didn't even know that. That's scary.
That's why we have third-party property damage coverage in your DICE the policy.
If we move down, we'll see that here we've got third-party property damage at $1 million. And also notice, guys, the deductibles. Deductibles are not cheap when it comes to this. So I always tell everybody, like, it's not even worth filing a claim if your camera's $2,500, just go get the new camera yourself because you're going to pay that in the deductible anyway. Let's go back up. So automobile liability, I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
That is also just to explain auto liability versus auto physical damage. Auto liability is a third-party claim. So you have a PA driving, gets into an accident and hits a guy's car. It'll pay for the other guy's car, not the PA's car, and make sure the other guy is
interesting,
taken care of for any injury or damage.
So what about, does this cover, say, grip trucks? If the grip truck got damaged?
Yeah, that'd be a rented or hired auto.
Okay, great. And then you can see here that these are all these things that are checked. So when you guys are getting your insurance, make sure you know what you need. I kind of just trust Alan. I'm like, you know what I need. Give me what I need. And then if something comes up, we add on as we need to. Yeah. Obviously, if workers' comp is checked, for me, it's a yes. You don't have to do workers' comp this like we talked about. We also have, it looks like I have a special thing here for prop sets and wardrobe. And we probably use more certs for props and wardrobe than anything else that besides gear. And it's crazy to me because the deductible is $2,000 and our rental fees are never that much. But I guess in the great scheme of things, it's always better to have the coverage and the events that your entire, I don't know, your whole wardrobe goes up in flames.
It's standard in a DICE policy to cover the miscellaneous rented equipment, extra expense, prop sets, wardrobe, third-party property damage, and faulty stock and negative coverage. Those are like the five main tenets of a production DICE policy.
And I love that Rick asked this question because it's my next, I wanted to ask this too. Regarding a doc feature or features in general, is there insurance to protect against getting sued by the subject of our doc? And I think in general, let's talk about feature film production insurance because like my DICE policy doesn't cover features. It only covers short projects.
Correct.
I go to you, I would need to get a feature film. I'd get a special insurance for my feature. Let's talk about that.
Well, documentaries, quote unquote, are supposed to be covered under a DICE policy since the D in DICE stands for documentaries. So DICE stands for documentaries, industrials, commercials, and educational, but really means multiple short form projects within a year, usually with a production schedule of 90 days or less, which there's lots of features you could do for under 90 days production schedule. But they exclude feature films most of the time. There is one carrier that will allow low budget features on their DICE policy form. So that is a possibility as well.
So when he asked about specifically from getting to make sure he's protected against getting sued from separate docs, I feel like that's more of a lawyer, entertainment lawyer contract, or like a release that has. Yeah. That in there, so that wouldn't really be an insurance thing, would it?
No, it would be an insurance
thing. Okay.
Because when you go to distribution, usually the distributor will require that you get E&O insurance. And the E&O insurance is what covers you from being sued from the content of your project. So and the, you know, covers you against unlicensed things, IP issues. Basically,
for anybody who doesn't know, ENO's errors and omissions.
Yeah, unauthorized use, basically.
So if you have a you know, Coke product that you didn't get cleared or whatever, it can cover anything as small as that to, as I guess, being can't be sued by a subject of a doc, which I didn't know. That's great.
Yeah, and then your media attorney will usually go over the clearance grid, or you'll have a clearance company go over the clearance, and then they'll request usually a title report, which you can get from like Clearance House or something like that. And then they may require a letter from your attorney if you're using media clips. They would want a letter that basically justifies the fair use clause. And if there's the fair use, usually there's a fair use endorsement on the policy as well.
What is the average cost of insurance for a low budget feature film?
It depends on the budget.
Let's say if the budget's like $250,000.
Yeah, you could probably get away with $7,000-ish for the production insurance.
It's so much money. Insurance is so expensive.
Yeah, I would figure, and it depends. You know, you can kind of, you know, people call me, they say, how much is insurance? I want to say, as long as it's a piece of string, right? You know, it depends. But I would, on the lower budget side, I would estimate at least 1.5% of your budget, if not 2%.
Can the DICE policy be okay at something that low of budget? Even if it's a feature, like say someone's shooting that a 12-day feature, 15-day feature.
Well, I've had clients actually shoot features on a DICE policy before and then like tell me after the fact. And I say, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
Another thing, like when there's a claim, people go, what do I do? There's a claim. I say, write me a narrative. What happened? Where did it happen? Give me an address. I have to spell these things out for people.
So basically every single detail possible.
Where and when. When meaning date and time.
So if something occurs, if an incident occurs, then this is the thing where you guys, filmmakers, you need to stop in that moment, stop everything and get it down. Get all the information down. Take care of that problem. Even if it's like a lamp fell and broke. Someone needs to record all of that, because later when you're done filming, you're going to forget details. And it's really important that you have all those details and that you let your insurance company know right away if there is going to be a claim. You mentioned waiver of subrogation, and I've been asked for those for the most random thing, like a one-day shoot, and it's like a school or a parking lot or something, and they are I need the waiver of subrogation. And then I email Alan and I go, I'm so sorry. I need that stupid thing again. What is that?
So it basically shifts the so that the insurance company cannot go after a certain entity to recoup costs, basically. So like for Film LA, you get a permit from Film LA, and let's say there's a claim, you can't go after Film LA because they wrote you a permit for this location, or the city of LA or an entity does not want to take responsibility for your actions. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be subrogated against, where they can recoup losses from a specific entity. So basically it's pushing the onus onto the filmmaker, and they can't just sue everybody because they're upset.
So why is there any way to hack the system is basically Alexander's question. Is there any way to hack the system? And I know, as Alan is the insurance person who wants to do it by the book, you do not have to answer that. But do you have suggestions for those who are like, I don't have money, but I need to be covered?
Yeah. I mean, I have some markets. If it's a very simple shoot and you just need general liability, I can usually knock that out for $430 for general liability for a quick walk and talk. And that's like up to 10 days or so of production.
That's pretty good.
And then, you know, equipment, you know, maybe it's another 150, 200. Usually those policies are less than $1,000, but they're not a comprehensive policy. You are covering usually equipment and general liability.
And also, I want to mention when you guys talked about pricing, just so you guys know, I remember needing to get E&O insurance to film on the back lot of Universal. And it was a one day, low budget thing. And the cheapest E&O was $2,000. That was just E&O to film there, which we decided not to film there. Because Universal...
And I don't understand why they require E&O to shoot, because you're covering against unauthorized use of a product or something in your content. And especially like when they're doing commercials. It's like, there's a whole creative team providing the content. Mm-hmm. You get the boards, you shoot the boards. You have nothing... You're not responsible for that content. You're just putting it together in a production form.
Cam call, this is something that I deal with every year. Like, should I even get insurance? What happens when you get an annual, but for a number of reasons, weren't able to shoot anything that year. It was a waste of expense, other considerations. I kept my insurance through the pandemic. And Alan knows this. Every year I was like, I don't know if I should do it because I ended up always needing it. So it was fine. And even at one point, I was like, I don't have any money for it now, and the money's due. And then a project came in that paid for it. So, like, I've kind of kept it. You can't really, you're not going to get any money back.
If it's a minimum premium policy, no, you're not going to get any money back. But let's say you declared $500,000 in gross production costs, and you only shot, like, $200,000 in gross production costs. You can request an audit. They may not, they will always... almost always audit your workers' comp, which I know, Jen, you probably hate.
Every year. But it's not that big. I mean, it's a form, and so far I've had no problems, knock on wood. No.
But they won't always audit the commercial package or the production package, but you can request them to audit it, and then they'll send you audit forms, and then you fill that out, and they'll go, okay, well, you only shot $200,000. Here's a return premium of X.
Wow. I didn't know that. I mean, I have minimum policy, so I'm assuming it doesn't count for me, but that's, I didn't know that was possible. That's great. David has a great question. How much does it hurt your next policy quote to have claims on your insurance from the previous projects?
It depends. I mean, I've had clients who have had a claim and their rates have not gone up. Multiple claims, yes, your rates will go up, but I can't guarantee that one claim is going to or not going to. It, you know, the one thing insurance people are always taught to say is never say always, never say never. Most of the time it will be up to the underwriter's discretion.
Yeah, I have a lot of that with Alan, y'all. I'll email him like, okay, so we're thinking about having a horse.
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, what does my policy cover? What do we need to get? And it's always like, let me ask the underwriter. That's always the question.
I always want to make sure with the underwriter, just in case. Usually there's animal mortality on the policy, or, you know, extra expense in case you hire an animal, the animal gets sick.
Well, and yeah, filmmakers, you got to also remember that, like, you got to be careful with your policy. This is why I'm always emailing Alan. I'm always like, is this covered? Is that covered? Because, like, stunts may not be covered. Or it may be covered, but you have to send in a form to get it approved. Or your horse might be covered, but not the person riding the horse. So there's a lot of little weird things.
And an important thing to note, that if you have stunts and you have a workers' comp policy, if you're doing stunts that day, you may need to get a payroll company to cover your crew for that day when there are stunts.
Is there anything, Alan, that you think of that, like, people should know about when it comes to getting insurance or having insurance for their films?
I mean, I would say one of the biggest issues I have is this: they'll buy the insurance and then they'll get to their location and they require like a $5 million excess policy or something like that, know the requirements of your locations before you start the process.
Yeah. And I would even go further to say, one, like we said, like SoFi, for instance, they said something like 5 million, but
yeah, you can push back.
They were ultimately okay. It's like, here's what we're doing. And if you talk to them about what you're doing, sometimes like, okay, that's fine because it's not a big crew, big production. And the other side is like, don't use a location you can't afford. So like always ask that before you lock in and get excited and have crew coming there. Find this stuff out first. Thank you so much for your time, Alan. Everybody, if you want to reach Alan, you can obviously Google him. He's easy to find. His email is at acisfinancial.com.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks for listening to the Working Director Podcast. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review as it helps others find the show and helps us keep making great content for you. And if you want even more help with your directing career, check out theworkingdirector.pro, where you can apply to be part of the accelerator that hones in on where you currently are and helps you get to where you want to be. Whether it's this podcast, the accelerator, or our free Facebook community for directors, we're here to help you get to work.